What I'm hearing you is inspiration, inspired, which if you really look at that word, it means in spirit. So if we go back to the statement of where we started this is where, when you want to feel endless wells of abundance and creativity and just amazement and wonder, then you've got to get back to spirit. Because that is where inspiration lies, and that is where everything you are talking about is, and that is literally why a child can sit and take this chapstick and put it on top of this and have it fall down and redo it 5 million times in a row with the same amount of excitement and wonder. Because they are in spirit, and being in spirit, time does not exist. There is no judgment. There is no future. There is no past. There is only now and the beauty that lies in that moment.
Hello, beautiful souls.
Wow. Hello.
It's the 100th episode of our show. And I have three of my favorite people here with me, Ashley, Amy, and Joey. I'll give them each a second to introduce themselves. But before I do that, thank you for being here with us. We're going to have an amazing conversation on so many beautiful topics. I'm only going to spoil one, which is the inner child and why it's so important for ourselves to take a look inwards as opposed to always looking externally. So with that being said, Ashley, tell us in 30 seconds or less what you do and why you're here.
Oh, why am I here? I'm here because I love Constantine. Like, we have cultivated this absolutely beautiful friendship in the last year and collaboration. And we do so much. Check out our YouTubes. You'll see us once a week having an amazing conversation. But I'm Ashley Abramson. I am the captain of Big Miracle Energy, the Unicorn Effect, and now Lighthouse Academy. Essentially, I see myself as a miracle worker in remembrance, just like everyone else. It just so happens that I've done a lot of the really hard work, and I have the ability to really hold that light when you're in the dark space and help people get to their truth within. I think finding our way back to our truth, which is being a child of God, is really the goal here. So that's me.
Thank you, Ashley. Amy, over to you.
Ooh, I have to go after that one. That's a toughie. Thanks, Ashley. My name is Amy Hubbard. I am a hypnotist. I'm a breathwork facilitator. I help people heal their limiting subconscious programs so that they can really live the life that they're meant to live, to really, as you say, Ashley, get to the truth of who they are, connect with their soul, live from their heart, have an amazing life. Thank you.
Beautiful, Amy.
Awesome.
Beautiful. And Joey?
Well, now I got to pump it up.
Yeah.
I'm Joey Drolshagen. I've been a guinea pig of all the works I do today, and I've developed a method called the SMT method, or subconscious mindset training, to get into that subconscious and that motherboard of programming patterns, habits, beliefs, and shift those limiting out of the way to open it up for more empowerment. And really, in doing so, the ultimate end goal is I help companies rapidly grow, but also to get back to living from their authentic self, not from the programming that we've picked up in our life.
Yeah. Beautiful stuff, beautiful. Joey. Thank you. Wow. Okay. So with that being said, we see here, we have a theme, right? You all focus on the subconscious mind to some degree, on the inner child, on the self, really, and how you get yourself to the next level. And of course, others, other beautiful souls. So let's start right with the inner child. Until I had a chance to talk to each of you, and this was only in the last 12 months, I wasn't really aware of my inner child much, and even realizing that I had trauma or things I had to heal within myself to bring that person up. So I'll open it up to anyone that wants to start this. How do you see the inner child, and why is it so important for anyone listening to this or anyone in the world to actually get that state again where they allow that inner child to come up, heal that part of themselves if they want to, or however we see it this day?
I vote Ashley go first.
Oh, me go first?
I second that.
Wait, what is this? This is now.
You're number one. Come on.
Yeah. Supposedly, for anyone who's listening, supposedly I'm number one on the whole trivia board or whatever you want to call it, where our faces show up. And then I guess that's the ranking. I am the most liked because I show up as one. No,
I think it's because Constantine obviously chose you as number one, is what I heard earlier.
Oh, you know, yeah. He was the only one that was on time, so maybe that's why.
Ouch! Oh. Ouch!
Ooh.
That hurt, Amy. Okay. That hurt.
Now, the inner child, I mean, my belief and understanding and definition has so transformed in the last, gosh, almost 20 years probably, of what the inner child is and really what the end game is, I guess, when it comes to that. I think there's so many stages along the way, but ultimately, it's who you are, right? Like we use all these buzzwords of like authentic self, be true to you, be the light. I mean, I use them, like that's marketing 101. But the truth really is coming back to that state of being that is just filled with curiosity and wonder and lives in the now. I mean, Eckhart Tolle, he like capitalized the title of the book, Be Here Now, right? Like, so that is what your inner child is. And there is a journey along the way. And I want to say, many people are fearful of inner child work because I think there's almost been this like scary vision of it, you know, with shadow work and, you know, Carl Jung making it seem like we're these awful sinners that have to like go through, and then Jordan Peterson and all these different players coming into this saying like, you have to realize how awful you are before you can be the light. And you have to go through the dark night of the soul. And I thought that for a really long time. And yes, a dark night of the soul may very much be a part of your story, but it just as likely cannot, or maybe not be a part of your story. So I think entering into that, we need to like debunk one of those like constructs you're talking about, Joey, like about like, why? It doesn't have to be dark. It doesn't have to be traumatic. I had a client come to me and she almost died giving birth. And she's like, I want to focus on this. I want to fix this. I want to go back to it. And I'm like, no, we're not going to. We never talked about it. And now she's doing amazing. She's pregnant with another child and she has no anxiety, no fear, because it's not about going back to the events. It's about the here and now. Otherwise, like we'd be like going against what we're saying about be here now, right? So I kind of went on, but that's really my, where I'm at today is just like, that's who the F I am. And when I show up at the level of form, that means what you get is an unsupervised child that comes from a place of love and curiosity constantly and has money to buy endless amounts of ice cream if she wants to. Like, it's just the reality of it.
Love it. Love it.
I love that. Yeah, I think when it comes to the inner child too, it's funny because we always talk about the inner child, like there's only one inner child, right? And I know when I'm working with clients, and I know for myself and just all the healing that I've gotten to do, the integration, there's not just one, there's many of them, right? But I feel like when you talk about doing shadow work, Ashley, and how scary it is, it is really amazing. And I never got this before until I started doing one of my first step in doing inner child work with people was actually through the lens of hypnosis. And it is amazing how just bringing your consciousness, your love, your unconditional love and presence to those parts of yourself, how it just melts everything. There doesn't even have to be a huge story around it. It's just you showing up for you so that you can be your own, like your own infinite supply of unconditional love, you know, so that you can let go of those stories around how maybe when you were a kid, maybe you didn't get what you needed. I mean, let's safe to say that no one got everything they needed, right? But mm-hmm. You get to become your own infinite supply of whatever that is. So it comes from inside and not outside.
Mm-hmm.
And if you deny yourself that, then those parts run you anyway, and it's not really as much fun. Like it's much fun to have those parts, you then be integrated and live your life from that place of you know, freedom and flow and joy and curiosity.
Man, nice. That was good.
Joey, what about you?
I can add much to this, but the only thing I would like to say is, you know, and you touched on it, number one, is, and I didn't know Ashley. We were allowed to swear words on here, but you just said Alf instead of the whole word, so I'd like to go back and add. No, but you know what, you the track you were going down is like, I do without calling it that, because a lot of people in business and entrepreneurs and stuff, they wouldn't be open to hearing inner child work. But what I do is help them go. I don't go worry about the healing and the tragedies and all that stuff and everything. I help them to go back to that place as in the preconditioned state to where they are now. And some people will go to teens and then there's so much conditioning that happens then. Some people will go to single digits age and there's so much. But if I can get them to go back to that, if there's any healing that needs to be done or any of that, it happens as a natural part of the whole thing. But also what it does is it helps them be aware of how the conditioning they've received from then up until where they are right now, how that's impacting their life in non-positive ways. So it allows them to live in the now, but live in the now from that place, from that preconditioned state where they were at.
Mm. Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. Beautiful takes. I mean, slightly different, but yet they all have a common thread there, right? And that's beautiful. I mean, anyone want to add anything else?
I think everyone covered it pretty well myself.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the essence of truth. I think some people call it spirit. Some people call it soul. Some people call it universe. Some people call, you know, you choose it. There's thousands of names for it, but it's really like the truth. The truth that lies within.
Yeah. And even the authentic self, you know, like you said, it's overused a lot in marketing now, but it really is. We were authentic who we were until our conditioning pushed us into a place where it's like, I have to be something different and putting on the masks and putting on the different, you know, trying to be something different and stuff. So yeah, no, this is great hearing what you guys had to say about it.
I mean, that's exactly what I was going to go to myself. It's that authenticity piece, because like I said, it's a term that's been overused lately, but at the same time, I don't necessarily feel that everyone truly gave it the definition it deserves, meaning being authentic, being who you are without caring about the external factors as much as that conditioning has positioned us to have to care about. Because I'm someone that I look back at my life, and most of everything I've done in my life has been based on someone else's definition of success, of authenticity, of being accepted, of everything, really. And I've had opportunities to do things my own way, and I was always reminded of how that's not necessarily acceptable, right? Because I wasn't fitting within the society or the mold that society was building, or let's call it my culture back in Romania and then in Canada as well. And it's really interesting to see how over time, if you start to get curious and start to challenge those beliefs, you open up doors to what I now call quantum leaps, because you're like, well, wait a second. I've been living by someone else's definition. Maybe it's time for me to take that back. And of course, it took me a while to get there. But once I got there, became aware and made a choice, the changes were rapid.
Yeah. That was awesome, Constantine.
Hey, it's Constantine here. And I want to take a brief moment to truly thank you for being a part of this incredible journey of transformation. You are the reason we are creating this content. I see you and I appreciate you. Your support truly means the world to me. I want to ask you for a small favor. I'd love for you to join our mission by hitting like, subscribe, or leaving a thoughtful comment or review. Your engagement helps others discover these insights, and together we can continue to unlock the power of authenticity and personal transformation. Thank you for being a part of this movement. Now, back to the episode.
One of the biggest areas that I have found in my life and the clients I work with and stuff is, you know, when we're kids, you remember being a kid and you wanted to be a police officer in the morning, and in the afternoon you wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer or something else, and you were those things. Like, it was like you were really those things. And then we start school and we're conditioned to shut our imagination down. And we're told later on it's not mature. You know, I have a 28-year-old son who says he's more mature than I am because my imagination and stuff, you know. But that's where the essence is. And that's one of the things of helping people when you get back to that authentic self is we have an imagination. We have an intuition. Like, we have five mental faculties, and that's one of them. But we're taught and conditioned to shut that down, to be robotic and go through life, you know, doing what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it. And it just takes away so much of what's possible for us, where if we can open up that imagination, and that's why I do through developing a dynamic vision. And in doing so, it causes us to start opening that back up, get the cobwebs out of it, and get it working for us towards what we desire to experience in this lifetime. really yeah. well said, Constantine.
Yeah. Well, and I think Joey too, like what I'm hearing you is inspiration, inspired, which if you really look at that word, it means in spirit. So if we go back to the statement of where we started, this is where, when you want to feel endless wells of abundance and creativity and just amazement and wonder, then you've got to get back to spirit, because that is where inspiration lies. And that is where everything you are talking about is. And that is literally why a child can sit and take this chapstick and put it on top of this and have it fall down and redo it 5 million times in a row with the same amount of excitement and wonder, because they are in spirit. And being in spirit, time does not exist. There is no judgment. There is no future. There is no past. There is only now and the beauty that lies in that moment.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, I love that.
Based on that example, I see why you're number one. I'm putting you as number one. That was awesome. What a great example, too.
Now you can sell that to like all your corporate. Won't they love it? Like, come be in spirit. They'd be like running the other way. They'd be like, no way.
Interesting, but I don't sell anything today.
That's
I offer
true.
The help.
That's
if I
true.
Can help, I do. And if I can't, then there's somebody else better suited that I can help.
I love that. We should get on to that, because Constantine knows how I feel about selling. And I actually, so I would love, so I know it's your show, but can I ask Joey a question? Can I share something with him?
You want to be on a different Zoom and we can sidebar this, Ashley?
No, I want Amy's opinion too. So we were doing a live, Constantine and I were the other day, and you know, everybody's in this movement of enlightenment. Everybody wants to get to this place of enlightenment and higher level consciousness. And I said, you know what? You know how we, right now in this moment, people are being sold like crazy, and really in that area of enlightenment, right? Come buy my blueprint, come buy this, come buy that, and to obtain enlightenment. And I thought about it, and I said to Constantine, I said, we know we have made it when no one can be sold, because you know exactly who you are and exactly what you want. Therefore, if I got a call, if I called up Joey about his services, I would be like, shut up, here's my credit card. Like, there was no need to sell, because everybody would know what they needed, and no one would want to sell because the judgment would be gone. The believing that things externally are there. And I just like, what are your guys' thoughts on that? I was like, that's when we know we're there.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me give you my number for you to call me up and say you're sold. But before we do that, no, absolutely. You know, and really what's helped me with this, because coming from a corporate 28-year corporate career up to a VP helping companies in bankruptcy, yada, yada, all that stuff, I got into this, and it started out in sales where I was selling people and everything. And my business didn't grow much. And then I came across a guy, his name is Steve Ramona, and a really, really good guy if you ever get a chance to meet him. And he taught me how to shift my energy and my passion and all that into living from a servant's heart. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, it's so much easier and it's so much more fulfilling in what I do, even though I'm doing the same coaching and stuff today, but getting to make that shift in there is, yeah, that I agree with you fully. I don't sell.
Yeah, I would add to that for me, I do not like selling at all. Oh my God. It's just the thought of like when you say selling, it doesn't put good like images in my head. I feel like when you come from a place of service, you're just sharing your authentic truth, then it's perfect, because what happens, you're just attracting people that absolutely resonate with you. And you're also repelling people who have no interest, but that's great. That's fine, because you're not for them. They're not for you. And that's perfect, you know? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that you said servant's heart, because it like literally what I just said about getting ourselves back to a place of spirit. Like I just did a few videos on the peaceful warrior, and the peaceful warrior, he says, Socrates says, the number one thing is service, period. Service to others. Because when you really break it down, the spirit, you know, we are all one, and you know, and giving is receiving, and this world is for giving. both for the two different words, for giving, but also forgiving. And if you're not giving, then you're forgiving. So it's like this constant state of giving without the want of receiving. It just happens. It's just a part of it. So I love that. Yeah. I love that. Servant's heart. I haven't heard that since the church days. That.
Constantine, feel free to join in on this conversation.
Yeah, Constantine, what are your thoughts?
I'm loving this, right? You can see my smile. I mean, actually, you and I talked about some of these topics for quite a bit, but this giving is receiving piece, it's been a really interesting shift for me lately in the last year or so because of the society I grew up in Eastern Europe during the communist era, where the mentality, at least how I remember it and how it was shown to me externally, even within my environment, but also outside of it, the immediate environment I'm in, was that mentality of scarcity, and giving is essentially, if you were seen as giving, then you must have a lot more than others. And in giving, you know, you are going to end up lacking something, right? So that was something that I kind of grew up with. Moved to Canada, saw a lot of that here as well, to some degrees. You would see the rare person that would be very generous and that they would be giving a lot. And you would always, you know, be like, but I don't know if I can be like that person, or I don't want to be. And I know for a long time, I would always be like, I would give to those close to me, but when I would give, let's say, $5 or $10 to a homeless person or something like that, it would always, there was something coming from my heart. I knew it, but a big part of me was holding me back. It's like, you know, we have this debt or we have this thing to take care of, right? And that has been shifting significantly for me. And what you said, actually, in giving is receiving, that's pretty much what I'm seeing to this day. Now, I do sales for Microsoft, as all of you know, and I'm starting to see how that's shifting as well. Where it's not even about the sale anymore, it's about the person behind the screen or the person you're interacting with and how you can make their day better, just as a human being, beyond titles, beyond position, beyond anything else. And that's what I'm bringing to my coaching as well now. And I'm seeing, like you, there's no need to sell. If you're coming up authentically and if you're coming up with, like, let's call it a product that can take a person from A to B and you're aligned and they believe in you, then that's it, right? It doesn't, you know, there's no selling involved.
Yeah.
I love giving is receiving. That statement has been so prevalent in my reality in the last 3 days. I've literally worked with 3 different clients where that exact sentence came into being. And it was, you know what it was though? It was around fear for them of sharing their gifts, of like putting themselves out there. And so we were really like, we were tuning into that frequency of, you know, giving is receiving. And I really love that. It's such a powerful thing to really just contemplate and live from that place, you know, especially if fear does come in.
Right. Well, and scarcity, I mean, scarcity is so like innate in us. And, you know, so often we can be like, yes, I'm giving from the kindness of my heart. And I think that's the beauty too, of getting back to truth and deep within, is like, there's a lot of times you got to get honest with yourself. I mean, we lie to ourselves so much to hide the pieces that we don't want to admit, you know, like, oh, I shoveled the neighbor's driveway. Well, because I'm out of town next week and I'm hoping he'll shovel mine. That's not giving, you know, but sometimes that's not even consciously occurring. That's happening back here. So if you just do the action and you don't like really take a step back and bring awareness to it, you don't catch yourself. And then it just becomes this automatic behavior. Well, oh, I heard Ashley and Joey and Amy and Constantine talk about in giving is receiving. And now my subconscious is going wild and I'm dead broke, but I'm handing out things left and right because in giving is receiving, you know? So it's like this, you've got to be very intentional and aware. And I think that's where curiosity comes in. I mean, curiosity is like the grandest thing ever. And when I was a child, I was told, you know, you ask too many questions, you talk too much, shut my curiosity down. But that was really my superpower. And when I tap back into that, I love to say curiosity didn't kill the cat, it saved the cat. Like literally, like if you are having a problem, get curious. Because if you are not aware, you can't choose different. And if you don't get curious, you'll never have awareness.
Yeah.
Yes, so. Absolutely. And you know,
I think it's the discipline to catch ourselves in those moments. Like I know for myself, I've really had to, and I still have to, I get to catch myself. Those moments where you kind of you feel something funny inside, or you just don't feel, but you immediately, let me just go look and buy that thing online, or let me go eat something or do the thing. It's about like coming back and dropping in and catching yourself to feel what that really is, right? Like it's a, and that gets to become a practice that we do over and over and over again until it really just becomes who we are. And even then we still get to keep practicing it. I think, you know, it's at least my experience.
One of the things I'll have to say is, you know, coming from a background of sales and, you know, constantly going out and making an introduction, go through the sales cycle and everything, that was a tough transition for me to make. And what I ended up doing is I learned for myself that I get so much more fulfillment, like true heartfelt fulfillment when I'm giving than when I'm trying to get or receiving, you know, it's and it pays back like 100-fold based on, you know, in giving. And one of the ways I've even shifted in my business to get away from that sales mindset is I used to, when I started coaching a decade ago or whatever it was, is I would look for how many calls am I doing and how many, you know, how many of those are converting to sales and stuff like that. And it was all about building the business and everything. And then as I started learning about the servant's heart and things like that, when I get on the phone with somebody now, I have a conversation with them. I'll get into ask them, do you want to hear more about the program? And before I do that, even I'll say, let me just ask you a second. Have I been of service to you on this call? And I really, when I'm going into a call, that's my mindset, is like, it's shifted now to the sale doesn't matter. Am I serving this person in this time I get to be with them? Am I making their life better or helping them see something different or things like that? And that's the big win for me. Then if they sign up to coach with me, it's almost gotten to be where it's like a bonus then, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because Joey, to me, it sounds like you're not coming from a place of lack anymore, right? Like it's a place of love and it's a place of trust and it's a place of just being you. And yeah, I mean, that's amazing. What I was going to say, it's like what came up as you were sharing that as well is one of the big reasons I'm even standing here in front of you before I got a chance to meet all of you is I got really intentional about diving into what really lights up my heart. You know, I call it my purpose, my why. And in doing that, which took me a while, I uncovered gifts and strengths that I've built over the years and gifts that I came into this world with. And I realized that doing more of those is lighting up my heart. And my why, the four parts to it are essentially to inspire, empower, guide, and support individuals on this journey. And much like you, Joey, I approach every conversation. Now, it doesn't matter if it's at Microsoft or if it's my personal life or the lives that we do, Ashley, or the conversations I have with anyone. Can I do one of those four things? Because I know that if I do one of those four things, then I will feel fulfilled and I've been of service as well. Whatever happens beyond that happens. And I've noticed that when I don't get to do that, or I don't come from a place where I'm intentional about doing, I'm not setting expectations, but being intentional about either inspiring or empowering someone or guiding or supporting someone, then I feel less than when I come out of it, right? And I can literally notice it right now because I'm like, oh, they didn't feel very good.
Yeah.
Well, my awesome.
It's awesome. I'm going first. It's awesome getting to see you expand and explode that. Constantine, it's really, really like such an honor to get to see that happening, you know, week to week as we talk and stuff like that. It's absolutely awesome.
That's beautiful. And I've seen you over the past year as well. And I think that's really when you've worked with Joey, and it's been really cool to see you. I agree. Step in and really get to understand yourself and to just show up with you've always had a loving servant's heart, but to like with really use it intentionally and be intentional about it. Like I always felt like the lovingness. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but like the second I got on a podcast with Constantine, I was like, yep, this guy like would give you the shirt off his back. Like he cares deeply about everyone he meets. But now I really can feel what you're saying, the intentionality behind it. And my comment to what you would say in my belief system is that there's only one mind here. We're just projected into many. So when you sell someone else, when you call someone else an a-hole, when you any of those things, the reason why we feel like crap afterwards is because your subconscious doesn't know any different. You just did that to yourself. And then when you show up and you serve that person, or you meet them with love and you just truly want to do with what Joey said, like, I just want to be there. I want to make sure that your time with me, you received. You're doing it to your, that's why you walk away feeling like $1 million, because you just honored yourself at the highest level. That's why in giving is receiving, because there's only one here. You can only give to yourself because there is only one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautifully said.
I love that.
And as a sidebar to that, love the shirt, Constantine.
Yeah, it's
yeah, that's so good.
Amy, go ahead.
He's giving his shirt off his back. I'm thinking I'd like that one.
Yeah, I was thinking I should have. I didn't think about it. I should have sent you each one for this episode.
But yeah.
I don't have them made yet. I know people have.
Guys, let's get off, you guys. Let's get off before we finish this.
Call us back when you got our shirts.
Well, luckily we are virtual, so I can keep my shirt for now. You don't want
to see
my
the servant's heart could fall to the side.
Amy.
Okay, Amy, I cut you off there. Please go
ahead. No, it's okay. I really, well, what I want to say is this. I love that you brought up oneness. Thank you for doing that, because I feel like that's actually one of my favorite things to talk about, is just the oneness of all of it. And I think that bringing unity consciousness into what we do is really so incredibly key. And it's very, very interesting. I mean, I really like to work with people to help them see and discover that within themselves.
Yeah. It's an amazing, like, one of the first times I had like a massive experience of what I say now is, do people actually change, or is it your perception of them? And that's like the connectedness, is like, I saw my family a certain way, and we had this like dynamic relationship, and I always felt like I got brought down and that they were negative and filled with fear, and I couldn't talk to them about some of these things. And the last trip I went home almost a year ago, I really was intentional. I was like, no, like, this is my perspective, is that of love and curiosity, and that they are me and I am them. And like, I see that it is just a cry for love. And holy crap, the conversations we got to have, the love that was felt. And then I was like, crap, do people actually change, or is it your perception of them that changes?
Yeah,
and I truly believe it's the latter, because I think like the one mind that is here, I believe, has two belief systems, that of fear, that of love, that of the ego, that of the Holy Spirit. And at any moment, we can choose to come from one or the other. We can come from fear, separation, or sacrifice in our actions, our reactions, or we can come from that place of love. But fear, what it really is a cry for love.
Yeah.
And you can only see someone in fear when you are coming from fear, because we're all mirrors, right? So Amy, if all of a sudden I shift to the ego and feel threatened by you, I'm going to feel that you're trying to threaten me, because I'm coming from the ego and that's why I'm seeing you. But if you stay in a place of love, no matter how much I attack you, you're just going to see this this helpless, curious child who wants love.
Mm-hmm. There's so much to unpack with what you just said there. I want to say, but it is a curious thing too. Like, right. Does your perception change? Is that what happens, or do they change? And I would say within the illusion of us all looking like we're separate, right? When we can show up and be in full presence and totally conscious with another being, that I believe that allows them to shift and change, if you know what I'm trying to say. Like, it's, yeah, because it's just having that, it's unconditional love, having unconditional love, like, you know, and be in presence with unconditional love. And the consciousness of that is the most healing thing on the planet. Mm. And people can, but I agree with both of what you're saying. I believe it's us that we shift and change. And I also think that people shift and change. So it's both for me.
Yeah. And if we're all one, then it's like,
yeah.
When you shift your perspective, everybody shifts, right? Because it's that we're going to metaphysics where our conversation isn't going to be able to use words anymore.
Well, how often have you guys worked with somebody? Like, I've worked with clients, and even in my own life, where, you know, them and their wife were, you know, married 37 years and they just coexisted. They didn't talk. They didn't, you know, they just shared the same house and stuff. And within 5 weeks of working together, they're back to being newlyweds. They both had to change that. But what happens is, I know for me, is I can take the same instance, and it depends if I'm living from ego or I'm living from heart. And one of the things I call this up here, the ego and the logical mind and everything else, is my antichrist. Because if I'm living from here, I can't be coming from both at the same time. So I'm picking, am I living through self-will or am I living through love? You know, and everything is love. It's either a cry for love or an act of love, you know? And so when I start looking at things like that, I could take the exact same instance of things that happened and I could shift my perceptions to see another possible truth out of that. Mm-hmm. And then it allowed me to have compassion for that person that did something that I consider, you know, hurtful to me and stuff like that, rather than the anger and things like that. And it really depends where I'm coming from. So that's a really good point.
Yeah, because it's a mirror. It's the mirror thing. Like, if you're coming from attack, you're going to see attack. If you're coming from love, you're going to see love. I think it's so powerful because it's one of those things that unless you're ready to hear that will really prickle you.
Yes.
Right? For someone to come and tell you. So it's not, when I share that, it's not like, oh, I'm trying to re-victimize you or whatever. To me, it's really giving you full power back. Like, if you want to experience the good in others, then find the good in yourself. Like, truly, when you do the work, and I'm not talking about, like, personal development. Personal development's beautiful. It has a time and a place. I think it kind of gets the surface layers off. I call it the icing. But if you don't do anything with the cake, it caves in. But it's about the little self. It's about you as a separate individual from everyone else, which, as I said earlier, that falls under the ego and fear of separation. So we kind of maybe have to like work through stuff there. And then we get to start focusing on the big self. And that's where you just truly want to heal with no reason for like gain in the illusion per se outside of you, but just truly want to heal. That's when you heal for the greater. I was going to do a video on Big Magic. If you haven't read that book, it's a beautiful book about creativity and like ideas. It's just super fun how she does it. But do you guys know Eat, Pray, Love?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Amazing movie, amazing book. Well, she tells the story in there that prior to that, she had wrote tons of books. Nobody knows about them. But when she wrote those books, her purpose was for them to be bestsellers, right? She wrote them with the purpose for external gain in the illusion. Eat, Pray, Love, she needed to write that book for her own healing. She didn't care if it made it a bestseller, and she poured her heart and soul into it for the purpose of the capital letter self. And we all know how that story ends. It was on the bestseller list for like 8 months. It became a movie with Julia Roberts. But it goes to show you that when you are seeking something within the illusion, that's selfish. That's the true epitome of little s. Lowercase selfish. That's you as an individual. Big ass is wanting to heal with no external validation, but just to heal. That heals the whole.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why I went off on that. Well, I love that though, but because when in moving, she was creating from her own pure joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is so key to what you're talking about. Not creating because I want this. Like, I'm just doing this because I just have this in my heart and I want to express it. You know,
mm-hmm. And I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you guys love when you're working with somebody and they get a breakthrough and something like that, bumping up against and everything? And all of a sudden they get this, you help them with the perceptions, all that stuff. And all of a sudden they just get that. Man, it put me in tears. Like I feel like it happened to me.
And well, it's because spirit.
To be involved in it. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so beautiful. I love that. I think we talked about this past Sunday, Constantine. I talked about someone who, we were having these conversations for the past year. She wasn't a client, just a friend. We'd hop on a Zoom. And all of a sudden, like a month and a half ago, she texts me and she's like, oh my, I get it. And like, she was just this well of love. And like, I could just feel the expansion within myself. She's like, you have literally been saying this for the last year. And I think that shows like a homage to the fact that you only hear what you are ready to hear. Mm-hmm. So someone can tell you like the secret to life or whatever. And if you are not ready, you won't hear that. You'll hear how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You'll hear exactly what you're supposed to if it's spoken from spirit.
Yeah. And just like you were talking about that with, you know, we're conditioned to be victims. I mean, even if you go back to the Bible, you know, Jesus needed Judas.
You're a sinner.
in order to get to where he got to and everything else and stuff. Like, we need that. And so many people want to point things to that. And it's just such a limiting way to live because it doesn't allow us any room for growth. You know, and I worked for a long time and growing up in Detroit, man, my mom was full Italian growing up with their family. I learned to be vindictive and I learned it really, really well. You know, one of my favorite quotes of my life was, I am kind to everyone, but if you are not kind to me, my kindness is not what you will remember me by. And Al Capone said that. And I held that near and dear. Wow. And it's just been over the past decade, 12, 15 years that I've released it. And I can't say it's completely gone because there's part of me that really, you know, still has a little bit of that built into me and stuff that I'm not willing to release at all. But like living like that, we're conditioned to do it. We're taught to do that. We see the examples of that happening. And then we ultimately... I have become those things. I have become the person that does those things because I've carried it so much into my actions of my life. So breaking those things, breaking that victimhood, it is somebody who's really has to be, you know, I believe pushed by pain or pulled by a vision. It's really got to be a lot of pain to come up against where it's finally like, I'm tired of being the victim. I'm tired of, you know, this stuff happening to me. And that's what really allowed me to get to a place where I wrote my book about life. I had to get to a point of life happens for me and not to me. Mm-hmm. And in order to apply that, I kept getting stuck on my judgments of things, good, bad, right, wrong, fair, unfair, all that. And so I had to be willing to find a way to put those down, put down my judgment. And it just is what it is. There's no good or bad. And then I could start seeing the lessons it was teaching me. And just amazing, incredible lessons it's taught me. And that's one I've applied towards living with that vindictiveness and the quotes like that and stuff, you know, that you know, I was conditioned into me where I can start relaxing those and putting those down. And I'll tell you, today, somebody can cut in front of me accidentally in traffic and I can just be like, I've been there. And there was a time in my life when I would have literally sped up and bumped the back of their bumper to try to get them to pull over and stuff, you know, and I'm not ashamed of it anymore because I'm not that anymore. You know, I wish I'd have taken different actions back then, but I did the best I could do with who I was then. And now today I can look at that and relax that, but it's got to be that willingness of living as a victim is causing so much pain. I'm willing to do something different. I opened my mind to looking at another avenue.
Yeah, it's a back against the wall moment where you're like, there's got to be another way.
Yeah, yeah. And pain is a great motivator for stuff like that because it'll keep beating us down and beating us down and beating us down to get to that point of I can't stand living like this anymore.
Yeah. So much to unpack there. So many things came up. And actually, I'll go back to what you were saying because it got me to reflect on something. So Joe and I are working on a couple of things around visioning, right? Because he's really good at helping you build a really solid vision and stepping into it. And as I go to meditation every night and in the morning and when I walk my dogs too, I got to a point where I'm visualizing this next big event I'm putting on for my coaching program, but it's about giving back first of all. And then, you know, there's a program at the end that people can sign up for. And as I'm going through my vision, the last time it came up, it was very, very visual. I felt into it, felt how I felt, how the people felt. But then it was getting to the end where I would, you know, visualize how many people, let's call it, booked the strategy call after. And immediately my mind took me to like the material stuff. It's like, oh, how much money that's going to bring in instead of the feelings that you started with, which is like the impact on the audience, the impact on myself. And as you mentioned that, I was like, I just caught myself because I didn't realize until now. And this was something I meditated on a few days ago. And I was like, oh my God, that's how easy it is for it to sneak in on you and pull you back into the material side of things and bring up those fears from before and the lack and all of that, even though also you actually beautifully called me out on it very nicely. What was it like 2 months ago when I stumbled up, you know, I was doing my bookkeeping, paying some bills and I noticed, you know, the debt I'm in and all the stuff. And it literally ruined my night because I allowed that to happen to me. I couldn't fall asleep and all that. And I share with Ashley that. And she's like, well, you were taken care of in the moment. You had everything you needed. But my mind was in the future and something in the past. And that ruined, you know, what, 5 hours of my night, literally. And then ruined my next day because I went to bed at like 3 a.m. after scrolling on Facebook for 3 hours. Yeah, lots of stuff coming up like this, but it's beautiful because, you know, this is how we get aha moments. When you're ready to hear something, it will come loud and clear.
Yeah,
that inner voice. I think that's really where I've been leaning into lately, is that space of no goals, no plans. I just, and don't get me wrong, like that is a condition that is really hard to break, right? Because then you know, that's seen as just like irresponsible and all these different things. But this week I did it and I was guided to one of the most beautiful healing moments ever that also provided me with the video I was going to do for Through the Lens. And it opened all these other doors, but it was so hard to get there because Through the Lens is a video I do on my YouTube or whatever. And I need to have an idea. And this week, my week was busy and I need to have it done by Tuesday. But instead I just like had to release everything and allow myself to be guided by spirit, to be inspired, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm really focused on inspiration and visioning is so beautiful, but where I'm at right now, like is really tearing back the metaphysics and getting to this place of spirit's the only one that knows like my truest vision. And now I'm ready to be God. It is so hard, but it is so like magnificent. It gives you those moments, Joe, you were talking about when your client has a breakthrough where you just feel this love that is almost so uncomfortable. You're almost like, like this is like, it's like an ongoing orgasm that lasts way too long and you don't know what to do with it anymore. You know, like it's like this like uncomfortable moment that you've never experienced before. So that's where really where I'm at, which has been totally unlike accepted by most people. But that's what I love about where I'm at today too, is like, I just live, I just share, you know, if you look at my YouTube, I've got all these people being like, what's she smoking? What, you know, like I want some of what she's got. And it's like, yeah, you probably do because I'm pretty damn happy. You know, and I'm not smoking anything. I'm just waiting for spirit. I'm just waiting to be guided and listen and unwinding myself from the ego and fear and living like that child in the moment. So
that's so awesome to hear you say that. And right up front, you said that. You said, you don't work on goals and you don't work on plans.
Yeah.
And what I do is help people, because goal is a hit or miss, right? You either hit it or you miss it. And then typically if we hit it, then we set a higher goal and things like that. A vision is a place of rising up to and coming from within to achieving. Mm-hmm. Where goals are something you go out and try and do and you know, the exhaustive to-do list and all that go with it. And plans, you know, that's, again, when I call this the Antichrist, you know, so many of the things come to fruition based on what you talked about with intuition. There's times I'll get up in the morning and I'll grab my coffee and I'll sit down on my recliner and I'll say, I'm not moving until I have an intuitive thought. I'm tired of exhausting myself trying to figure out my plan and how I'm going to do it and everything else. And it's one of the things everyone I work with, I take through that. It's not about us developing that plan and logical strategizing and action plans and recovery plans. And it's just exhaustive and we don't get anywhere when we can tap into the alignment place. All of a sudden we start, you know, we're opening up our intuition, we're opening up our imagination, and all of a sudden ideas can come through us. And we take those, they're almost always less effort to bring those about. And they have that excitement. And then they have this huge, you know, result attached to them versus when I try to do something up here and put together that plan. That is so awesome. Everything you just said.
Yeah.
You're going to have to pass our contacts to each other so we can continue.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to wait to the 200th episode.
Yeah, it's got to be in person. That's what I was thinking. The next one for the four of us will be in person.
Oh, that'd be sure.
Awesome. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Will we all be wearing shirts?
100%. You have to at that point. There will be no choice. I'll make the choice.
I am beyond excited that you are finding value and inspiration here. Your support means everything to us. If you're watching this on YouTube, take a moment to click like, subscribe, or leave a thoughtful comment below. And if you're listening on our podcast platform, subscribe or leave a review, and it would mean so much to us. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Unleash Thyself Today and TikTok at Unleash Thyself for daily insights and guidance on personal transformation. Your interaction helps others discover this content and fuels our mission to bring even more meaningful discussions your way. And on a personal note, I truly value and appreciate you and your thoughts. Now, let's dive back into this enriching exploration. There's so much more to uncover.
Amy, what do you have to say on this? Because I feel like you're reaching to jump in and yeah. I would love to.
Well, I can say that I'm inspired by it, and it reminds me that I get to create more space. Maybe I'm not exactly in the place that you are, Ashley, but I could be that way in increments, right? I could give myself mm-hmm. that gift of being in that space for different, you know, point. Maybe it could be an hour, it could whatever, just to kind of, because I feel like I definitely love the idea of when you give yourself space, when you're not working on something, when you're just, that's when you get to be in flow. And that's when you get to play more. And it really is so incredibly, deeply, deeply important. So that the inspiration spirit can come through and you can, you know, you can have the just be in the moment and let it unfold. And so I'm inspired to do that more.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think like you brought up earlier so beautifully, Amy, and I don't know if I mentioned this, but I was like, we need to cover this because if someone listens to this, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, like I am so far away. But you brought up a key point earlier, Amy, and that's discipline. Like this takes a lot of mind discipline.
Yes.
And in my mastermind, we just started Lighthouse. Like that's what we're starting with. Because if you don't have an understanding of like what gets in your way of discipline and like the narratives and the stories of like, oh, I'll just skip this tonight, even though it's only 5 minutes. In the moment of like you getting cut off, Joey, you can't choose love. Like if your mind is all over and it's that monkey mind going crazy, especially in the heat of the moment, you can't choose love over fear. Fear is your like, that's where you go. That's where you've been taught and conditioned to go in this illusion, in this lifetime. Your innate state is love. But the truth is you've been practicing fear for so long, you have to really discipline to get yourself back to that state of love. So I think discipline is really, really important. And I'm not talking about like illusion level discipline, like, oh, you know, dieting, all that. Yes, you can obtain mind level discipline through that. But the mind is more about understanding when you make a deal with yourself, when you set something to do, and you come up with all these excuses, it's being aware of those excuses and allowing them to, a friend of mine says, like, when fear comes in, you have two options. You invite it in for tea and you allow it to hang out, take a back room, stay overnight, maybe stay a few weeks, right? Or you're like, oh, there's fear. You don't interact with it. You open the other door and you allow yourself to watch it walk right out. And like, that's the holy grail, but you have to understand like, who are all these, you know, people trying to let fear come have a room in the Airbnb overnight, right? Like you got to understand that. So I hope people like, this has been years of like understanding who I am and unpacking who I am. And I think you can have quick moments, which I would call a holy instant, and that is possible, but I by no means want to discourage anyone. By them thinking like, if you're not even close to this, you're good luck. You're a lost cause.
So I have a question for you about that, because I agree with everything you said. But for me, from a very, very early age, I did not like the word discipline. It seems like work and things like that and stuff, right? And so I don't look at it so much from like I've disciplined myself to live this way and stuff. What I've done is said, man, I want to have joy in my life. I want to have freedom. I want to have expansiveness. I want to feel real love. And it doesn't have to be a one-on-one love relationship. I just want to feel love for who I am and where I am and the people, you know, around me that I come into contact with and stuff. And so what I do is I choose to lean into what I want. I'm not, I don't look at it so much as discipline or hard work to do it. I just lean in, I look at the things and I'm going, I don't like this. I don't like what I do when somebody cuts me off. And eventually it turns into the whole thing where that can happen and I can go, I've done the same thing to people. And it's that quick and simple, but it's all based on what I want to feel. You know, I work out, I hang glide, I play pickleball and things like that. And I don't do them because I'm disciplined to be physically fit or trying to be physically fit or anything else. I do them because I enjoy the time in doing that. And I'll tell you, I have a coach that I work with in my life because I've been taught best coaches have coaches, you know. And so I'm working with them. And when I get stumped down in this trying to expand my business, get to the next level, things like that and stuff, I'll talk to him and he'll go, man, pack your up and go out to Tennessee and go hang gliding. And I'll do that. And all the activity I'm taking here doesn't produce any results. And I'll go out there and I'll be putting the hang glider together. I'll just land in something. And all of a sudden my phone will ring and it's somebody out of the blue that says, yeah, I heard this podcast from you. It could be a couple years old, you know, and it really intrigued me. I'd like to talk to you about it. And all of a sudden I have a new client that I'm working with based on that. And it's when I almost like when I get out of that discipline kind of living and I get into like what I heard you say in my words is that free flowing into what feels good. And I'm just looking for what is that I feel good doing? And I lean into that. Now I've had some people tell me, you know, I'd love to sit on my couch and eat potato chips, you know, for a couple months and not go to work and this and that. And I'll tell them, do that. Mm-hmm. Because I bet after about 2 or 3 days of that, that's no longer going to feel good to sit on that couch and do that. Mm-hmm. And that'll motivate you to whatever that next thing is. So what do you think of that? Like looking at it that way?
Well, can I invite you into something?
Absolutely.
So I would invite you, Joey, to get curious about whatever this narrative of weight that you still carry on the word discipline, like your whole body structure changed, your voice tonality. And to me, anytime, and don't get me wrong, like there's still stuff I'm working to unpack the weight, but anytime there's something still in there holding weight, it's like that theory, how you do one thing is how you do all things. So that weight on the word discipline, even though you're not focused on it, you're not interacting with it, is in some closet somewhere, and it's still doing some stuff somewhere that you probably aren't aware of. So I would first invite you into like, what is this narrative behind discipline? Because I said, when I said discipline, I said not ego level. So not at the level of illusion. I even said like not dieting, not exercising, things like that. But your mind couldn't separate the two. Couldn't separate like discipline at the level of the mind. And that's what I hear you're doing, because you're saying I'm choosing what I love. That takes discipline, because you have this monkey mind that has like all these things going on constantly. Yeah, those are the constructs. Those are all the other things. So just an invitation that I just saw like your whole body structure and I felt the energy shift. So I would say that word discipline carries like some story that still weighs in there, and like yeah, that's the goal thing. Like yeah, because like we were on a call Sunday, and you know, as projections in this illusion, we're always trying to create something at the level of form to measure spirit, right? We're always trying to like be like, oh, here. And a friend of ours, Cassidy, brought up that the Egyptians, right? Was it the Egyptians, Constantine? I think
yeah, I think so.
To see if you were going to go to heaven or you were worthy of that, they, after you died, would weigh your heart against a feather. And if it was lighter than a feather, then you were going to heaven. So essentially, yes, it's at the level of form and that's kind of like grotesque, but that's really what you're trying to do. You're trying to relieve yourself of all the weight that society has placed on you, to free yourself up, to be in that place of spirit, to be in that place of joy, because it is the baggage, it is the weight that holds you back from the access to your truest self, from your authentic self, from the well of abundance that is within. So it's only, that's why I bring that up.
Thanks. I'm glad I got to ask you that.
Yeah. And tell me, and I would love to hear if you do dig deeper, if anything comes up.
Yeah, I will. Definitely.
Yeah.
What comes up as we are talking about this a lot for me is the power of curiosity.
Yeah.
And it was shown to me beautifully just 2 days ago, actually. Tuesday, I wake up and usually I check my phone to see the time, because I'm now at a spot where I don't need to wake up by alarm, and I wake up exactly when I need to. And I check, and I knew I had a post on LinkedIn going live at the time. And I checked, and there was, let's say, no likes. I put my phone down. I thought I didn't care about it. Went to the washroom to get ready for the day. Something happened there. I don't remember what. And then I went on about my day, and I started to feel, I'm like, man, I'm not feeling great. Like, last night I had an amazing meditation session. In fact, I got so many beautiful downloads. I was beaming with joy and happiness, and it took me a while to fall asleep because I was so into it. Fell asleep, and then I woke up, and I was feeling, you know, like I wasn't myself. And I take my dogs for a walk as part of my morning routine, and I got curious, finally. I was like, okay, well, you know, I mean, I got to ask questions, like, why is this happening? And I just said, you know what, I just woke up 20 minutes ago, so this should be easy. So I just traced back. I'm like, okay, so what was the first thing I did? Well, pick up my phone, look at that, no notifications, clicked on the post, saw that that LinkedIn shadow banned me, meaning like there was one impression on the post. So I had done something over the weekend where I spammed a bunch of comments to just promote my profile. So I think that's what caused it. And then I'm like, it started to go down, and it's like, oh, okay, so I know what fear that brought up, right? The fear of rejection, the fear of failure, fear of whatever, right, that came up. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. I was able to let that go. Then I went to the next step, which was something that happened a few minutes later. And as I'm packing all those things, I think there were three things that happened. All of a sudden, the weight of it was released, and I was back to feeling like myself. And it was just because of the power of curiosity, I would say, right? And coming from a place of, I guess, less judgment. I wouldn't say no judgment, because I'm sure I still have some of it.
Yeah. Very, very, very cool that you did that, actually. Because I'm thinking about how many times in the past, like, I'll be doing something, and I'm like, what? Occasionally, like, tune in. I'm like, wait, why am I upset right now? Like, what is this? You know, and it's so interesting. Again, I'm going to use the D word again. For me, it really is about discipline, but in the sense of, all right, let me just stop right here. Because I really get to go into myself and feel the feel, like, what is this, you know? And that always brings so much more clarity. So you can make a choice, because then you have a choice. Like, you can choose, okay, I'm going to hang out with this, you know, play with this story for as long until I get bored with it, or I'm just going to go inside and heal what, like, to be with what gets to be listened to, so that we can alchemize this and enjoy our day. And I don't mean that from a surface level way at all. I'm just, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's awesome. And it's amazing when you can do that. And it's also sometimes surprising what you can find out about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the one part, I guess, I forgot to mention there, that in asking the questions, I found the answers, and I knew they weren't true in the moment. So I was able to essentially reframe and change my perspective immediately. I'd be like, yeah, that's not true, which immediately released all of it.
Yeah. You're always really good, Constantine, though. I have to say, having worked with you, you're getting very, very good at that. I'm very proud of you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's. I'll be honest, the first few times you and I did that through hypnotherapy, I was like, I don't know what's going on, but this is cool.
It often happens through the portal of the body, right? Like, it's not always like up here. It's actually can be something in the body that's trying to alert you. And it's just, yeah, it's fascinating.
I mean, speaking of that, Amy, I don't know if I mentioned this to Joey or Ashley, but yeah, in working with Amy through hypnotherapy, as things would come up visually sometimes for me, but also they would come up through different pains in my body. Literally, something would start hurting. We would dive into it. It would have a name. We'd get to heal it, and the pain would go away. And I thought that there was your magic power, Amy, for a while. And it was, until you taught me how to do it. And then all of a sudden, I could do it myself. And I'm like, well, I didn't read anything on this. I didn't study anything. And all of a sudden, I'm journaling. And I'm writing down intentions. And as I put my pen down, I feel a sharp pain in my, right by my heart. And I'm like, that's interesting. It wasn't there before. I got curious. It presented itself with a name. And it told me, hey, you forgot to write a couple of things down. I go write those things down. The pain disappears. But there was another pain, let's say 2 inches to the left of that. Again, presents itself with a name, tells me, hey, there's one more thing you forgot. I go write it down, and the pain is gone. And I'm like, sitting there, I'm like, am I actually going crazy, or what's actually going on here?
Well, you opened that portal up. It, for you, really, like, your subconscious mind now is like, I know how to communicate with Constantine now. I'm going to shoot him a message to the body. it may be different for other people, just to make that clear, because, you know, the subconscious can communicate spirit, all the things can communicate in many different ways. But obviously you have really made a deep connection with that. And that's really cool.
And the way I see it, if I could do that, that means that many other people can do it. And like you said, it could be showing up differently. But if I can do it, I'm no different than anyone else. We talked about oneness. That's how I see it today. Which means that if I look at the three of you and each of you have done some amazing things in your life and doing amazing things, that means instead of comparing myself to you, I could be like, oh shit, I can do what Ashley is talking about, and I can do what Joy is talking about, and I can do what Amy is talking about. It's just a matter of choice. Like, do I really want to be doing that? And if the answer is yes, then well, go for it.
One of the things is, like, this is a real honor for me to get to sit with you guys here, because, like, I know about both of you guys. And I was just waiting, like, I thought at some point our paths are going to cross, and here we are. And it's like, I've heard firsthand the impact you've had on Constantine's life, and wow.
Thank you, Joey.
thank you. And he talks about you a lot too, and yeah, all the amazing guidance you have provided him. So it's so cool. Like, it's like we've been that family that, you know, we just haven't met yet. We've already been a family. It always has been. It always was. It's just now we're actually experiencing it in real time, in the present.
Yeah, absolutely. And the really cool thing about it is you're an awesome hero of your journey, Constantine. Like, you take stuff and you really take it inwardly. You really, like, process and things like that. And like, it's so amazing to get to hear. I was talking with Amy, and then I had this happen. This happened, like, the writing you just talked about, you told me about, and, like, whatever happens in those, I get to hear about. And it's like, man, but you're an awesome man.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, every single one of you is as well, right? And that's why we're here today. I mean, I don't think anything happens by choice. I truly believe there's a purpose and a reason behind everything. We might not see it, right? Or we might choose differently in the moment. And, you know, like, how long have I known you for, right? It's like, Ashley, I think I've known you the longest, but it's still less than a year. And Amy, then you came in the picture next, about the same. And Joy, what, about like 8-9 months, right? And yet it feels like I've known you all my life.
Yeah.
And that's that's powerful, right? Because that's when you open up to be who you are at the core, being authentic, you start to attract people. And vice versa, right? That's how I see this today.
Yeah, and part of the thing is, you and I get the opportunity of what we're doing together only based on your mom being an angel for you. She was your spirit guide.
Yeah, my mom, for Ashley and Amy, I don't think I've told this story, but my mom is one of my biggest fans for the show, right? She watches every episode. And when she watched the episode with Joey, she kept asking me, like, when are you going to work with Joey? He sounds like he knows what he's doing. Yeah, I think she was stuck on the one example where you gave that you made that real estate agent a multi-millionaire. She was like, oh, maybe he can help you.
Yeah, you're going. You're on your way.
So let's get back to the part of curiosity for a second, because to anyone listening right now, to be honest, I mean, there were so many breakthroughs for me in my transformation journey, and especially in the last year. But the power of trust, one, and the power of curiosity probably have been my top two biggest ones. Like, getting curious and not running away from fear, not running away from pain, like I've always done in my life. But getting curious, and I think, Ashley, you mentioned it, opening the door and, like, just watching it go by and feeling into it and be like, okay, I understand. And then you get to release it. So I'm curious what everyone has to say about it. Maybe Amy, I'll come to you first.
The power of curiosity. The first thing that comes into my mind is, the power of curiosity is absolutely life-changing for me. I remember being a little kid and having an existential crisis, literally being like, why am I here? What is this? And that literally propelled it sent me on so many journeys all over the place, all over the world, deep diving into spiritual, whatever, deep diving into healing and trying to understand myself more and other people and what the is this. And it's been such a gift for me. Like, there were years of depression from it, literally, but it literally has been the biggest gift of my life. And I'm like, I'm so grateful to still be so curious. And by the way, I have not gotten that question answered yet. And I'm never going to stop exploring it. You know, it just it's brought me so much into my life, and it makes life, beautiful.
Oh, I so feel that, Amy, like feel that heart in the heart, in the soul, in the spirit. That was so beautiful. And I think it's when you end up on this journey where we all are of getting to know yourself deeper, it is that it's that constant seeking of where's the answer, and curiosity is your like fuel, right? It's your fuel to the jet to get around the world or wherever, you know, your ayahuasca, your all these different things, searching for the answers. And I remember I took Myers-Briggs tests and I took, you know, human design and like, who am I? At one point I was diagnosed with bipolar when I was younger, and I bought this like book that was like 1,000 pages on manic depressive illness, and like devoured it. And I was like, tell me who I am. And I will say, in about a year and a half ago, I never thought this was possible for myself. I always have the ability to ask a question, and then your answer, I will have another question, right? Like, that's why you're still asking questions, because there hasn't been anything yet that finally you're like, shit, I can't even think of another question to ask. Like, that feels whole. But about a year and a half ago, I came into orbit of a book by Gary Renard called The Disappearance of the Universe, which led myself to A Course in Miracles. And The Disappearance of the Universe, I was really at this place of like, it's Jesus, but it's Reiki, but it's I can manipulate and manifest, I can do all these things, but none of it makes sense on its own. What is going on? And then my mentor, she's like, I've been listening to this book, but I haven't grappled with it yet, but I think it has the answers to all these questions you're asking. And I hit play and I heard Gary's voice, which is a very distinct voice. Constantine knows I recommended the book to him as well. And it's a book that you either know or you don't know. And it was like, this is what I've been searching for. And everything in it, I was like, I don't like, literally, I can't even think of any more questions. Like, this is what, like, yes, Jesus was the way, the life, you know, the light, all of that, but not in the, I'm a sinner and I must die and all these things, but in fact, the resurrection, that is what I meant to, and like, I'm sorry, like, I could get like, go, spirit can get me going. But that, like, literally, it led me to the Course in Miracles and to Ken Wapnick and some of the greatest teachers. And I don't have any more questions. Like, I still have to question myself sometimes. Like, why are you making that decision, girl? But when it comes to what is going on outside of me and inside of me and why we are here and all, like, done. They're answered.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I guess I better read that.
There's thousands of ways, right? There's thousands of ways to get to that place, and it resonates. Everybody will find their way if this is the lifetime for them or whatever. But I love that you are not stopping. I think so many people stop prematurely because the masses say, and I think with the New Age movement or Christianity, those are two very key areas where people just stop. They stop because the guy next to them is telling them this is the way, even though they don't feel it. And that's why we see people, you know, like in the headlines right now, like Kat Von D, she was big into the New Age and now she's back in the church. And then people that were in the church are back in New, you know, it's this pendulum swing when really you need to ask the questions until you can't think of another question. Like, that is how you will find your answers, your truth. So I love that you're asking and keep getting curious. Yes, listen to the book, The Disappearance. It'll either be a really great fireside chat because it's three people having a conversation, or it might be your answers. Who knows? Either way, I think Constantine, it kind of blew his mind a little bit.
Oh, it prickled me a lot because I use your words now, Ashley. When I'm if that's true, then I don't know, man, that's going to mess up my world. Right, so there are a couple of parts, but a lot of parts resonated really well. I need to give it another listen. It's really long. It's like 16 hours, I think, which is, you know, 4 or 5 times than your average book.
I think that's one of the things, you know, we talk about the people and things like that. So, but one of the things is it's scary. You know, you can't talk about power of curiosity without talking about what the Buddhists call the beginner mindset, right? They have to go hand in hand. So, and the way I define a beginner mindset is we all know a lot, but the beginner mind says, what can I take from this and add to what I already know? That's a beginner mindset. So that opens up to be able to lean into power curiosity. And as we do that, I think what happens a lot of times, man, I grew up Catholic. So when I was in my 20s and started doing this work, and the God that I was taught, at least the one I learned, I'll say, not what I was taught, the one I learned, I couldn't, it wasn't something I wanted a one-on-one relationship with. I was afraid of, you know, yeah, I knew I'd never be good enough and all those things and stuff. So I didn't, but when something came up and took me to that other side, Donald Walsh in his, oh my God, what's the book he wrote about,
Conversations with God.
Yes, no. Thank you.
That's what it is, right?
When I first read that book, it scared me. And I closed it and put it on the bookshelf for about 8-9 years. I wouldn't open it back up. I don't know why I didn't get rid of it because it scared me so much. What I was afraid of is all of my conditioning was based on what I was taught, and I was afraid I'd be doing wrong by even being willing to be open to look at something different. But 8 or 9 years later, when I went back to it, man, it all made sense. It's like the book you're talking about. It's like it all fit. I understood it more. I understood the power, why we have and how we have the power to manifest the life that we want and how we can do that and how we don't have to live a life of struggle and all of those things. And again, that's just a scenario. Back when I first went to read it, I didn't have that beginner mindset. I was too into what I had learned being the only truth I was open to. And then later on, by opening that up, you know, by having more of that beginner mindset, I was able to open it and grasp what it was telling me.
Yeah, I think like we said earlier, like you will only hear and receive what you are truly ready for. Like the Course in Miracles, 4 years prior to that, I read Marianne Williamson's book about like the heart or something. But anyway, it literally says on the cover about A Course in Miracles. And I was super curious at that time. That was like the epitome of curiosity. Like, why do I brush my teeth this way? Like I went all out because how you do one thing is how you do all things. And I never once looked up what the book was about, what her Marianne Williamson's book was about. But it was because I wasn't ready to receive that book yet. I was not in a place in the ego, fear, you know, that other belief system, the last thing it wants you to do is to know that you never have to choose it again. And that is what A Course in Miracles shares with you. Like you never, ever have to choose that. That is not who you are. So of course, that part of your belief system that you made up is going to be like, we're not going there. Stay away from that book. That book is going to be the death of me, you know? And so it's just, yeah, you have to get to a certain state to be able to receive whatever your truth for this journey is. And everybody gets to a certain state in, you know, each lifetime. It's just so, I don't know. It's so, once you're like, I can ask questions to anything and like, it's okay. Yeah. It just unlocks like this, I don't, like this freedom of like, I can just question. Everything I always wondered about, I don't have to take at face value. I can literally ask questions.
Yeah.
I have to say, growing up in Texas as a born New Ager, just came on the planet that way for some reason. And in the religion, like that collectiveness really got me asking a lot of questions. That was such a gift for me. I was like, I don't know about this. Like, what is this? You know? And it was such a gift because instead of like, for me, instead of locking me into that belief system, it helped me like see it more clearly, like that wasn't for me, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
such a interesting thing for all of us, because I believe we choose all these things, right? We come in for a reason. We come in like born in certain places with certain coding and all the things so that we can play this game and wake up to who we really are. But it's fascinating.
Yeah. And what I think is cool is there's people who can go as far as I went with that, you know, conversations with God, and they close it up and they can just move forward. I couldn't do stuff like that. Because I still had that, what you were talking about, that curiosity. I still had those questions, and it just caused me to kind of struggle, like not knowing what the answers were. So I didn't go that route. I ended up going a different route. I did go through Course in Miracles with a group of people a couple different times. And I went about it in a way that got me to the point where I could read that Conversations with God and it makes sense and click. And I've always been so grateful to have that curiosity.
Well, you did it perfect. You did it the perfect way for you.
For me, it wouldn't work for anybody else, but for me, it did. And that's, and we all have that. As long as we continue to choose to have that curiosity, as long as we continue to take a little bit of time and understand what are the questions I have. You know, one of the things is I have a tattoo on my arm. It's my life logo. It's a compass and an eagle. And eagle is my spiritual animal. I found out through shamanic journeying. And the compass is because all the time growing up, my mom used to say, search for God in every direction, in every way, and ask, it's okay to doubt. It's okay to have doubts. Find the answer to those though. And that's something that lived with me and still does to this day. And it's a gift.
Yeah.
The gift of gab. Isn't that what they say? Like the gift of gab. It's also like dismissive, but it is.
Yeah.
You don't ever have to, as an adult is really, it's so funny. Like as a kid, we ask all these questions, even though the adults are telling us to stop, we still do. And then as an adult, when like no one is telling us what we can or can't do, all of a sudden, like it's so ingrained in us that we've become our own, like, don't do that. Don't ever ask. When like right now is your most free time. Like I said earlier, like if you want to eat ice cream every day, hey, if you're listening to this, guess what? You're a grown adult. You probably have money in your pocket. Go do it. And like you said, Joey, after probably day three or four, you might get sick. But no one is stopping you. No one is stopping you but yourself. So don't say you can't do it because you sure can. You're just choosing not to. And so many people are like, I can't. Yes, yes. That is such the victim mentality. Like you said, Joey, we're all victims. Like, I can't. Yes, you can choose. Like, tax day is on Monday. If you live in the U.S., you don't have to pay on Monday. Like, that is your choice. There is outcomes, right, that may not be favorable, may not be enjoyable, but you get to choose. Because my grandma always told me there's only two things certain in life, death and taxes. And I have literally debunked both of them with the power of curiosity.
Powerful. I'm looking here at the time and I want to keep it to about an hour and a half. So I want to give each of you the chance to share one thing that comes up for you in the moment, because I know there will be something that will be very powerful. So I instead of picking a person, I will let whoever feels like they have something that came up for them right now can go ahead and share that.
I guess I can go. I always end everything with remember you are worth it. So I want to reiterate that. I think so often we don't hear that. We don't remind ourselves that we're worth it. But a quote that I live every single day by, and I think our episode today, I really feel encompasses that. And it's, we're all just walking each other home by Ram Dass. I mean, look at us, like three complete strangers 12 months ago. I feel like I just spent the last, why am I crying? Okay, so hour and 20 minutes with lifelong friends that we've reunited after, we took some time away, but like we lived in the same house in college. I don't know. I just feel like it's the epitome of what we did. So just remember, we're all just walking each other home.
I love that. It's so true. Yeah. I guess I would just say that to remember that you are way beyond your name, where you come from, all your stories. Drop into your heart space and just sit and be with who you truly, truly are.
Mm. Yeah, that's awesome. Beautiful. You know, as I'm thinking about this and what everybody said and everything else, it's... if you're listening to this, if you're part of this, whatever it is, like there's a freaking giant inside of you, as far as experiencing life and having huge impact and just really, really getting the depth of joy and love out of this life. All you got to do is to choose that. And you don't even have to figure out the pathway. Just by choosing that, it will show up and start unfolding for you. And just take those actions as they show up. And we need that so badly in this world to overcome the things that we don't like that are happening, you know, to get more people on that side of enlightening, that side of coming to their authentic self and why they're here and what that mission is that, that's been stamped on your heart and soul, and bring that forth.
Right. And as you're saying that, because all of you touched on something so important about empowering someone, and two things came up for me, and one that just came up right now, a quote I like to go by a lot is, "Be the change you want to see in the world" by Gandhi. But what came up that as all of you were talking is like, I want to change that to be the light you want to see in the world. So shine your light, because then it's going to, you know, give permission to everyone else to do the same, at least in your world. And the second thing that came up was gratitude. And realizing, as you touched on this, Ashley, a bit, and everyone as well, Amy and Joey, but to me, it feels like once you drop into a place of gratitude, just with yourself and then with everything external, it's like it has so much power to bring you in the now. Be like, wow, surrounded by all this amazingness. Yes, you know, the world might not be in the best place right now, but it's all relative, right? It's depending on my perception and what I choose to look at.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Constantine, for bringing amazing, you know, opportunity for people to hear some amazing practitioners and just thought leaders of today. And you just never give up. Like, I love it. Like, nothing gets in your way. And since the day I met you, you have been like, I'm going to be big. Like, it's not a question. The question is when, and it'll come. And you just have stuck with it. And it's never been big of like, oh, because I'm going to have millions. Like, you always say, and I'm going to take care of everyone who helped me along the way. I'm going to make sure that they're doing well, and not in a monetary sense, but just like this, you tribe, this community, this like beauty. So thank you for creating Unleash Thyself and for picking Joey and Amy and I to be on an episode, because I'm guessing it was led by spirit. And then today, I mean, bringing us all together.
Yeah, what a blessing. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you guys, getting to hear
you. Really great to meet you. Celebrate this 100th
episode. Wow.
Yeah.
What an honor.
Thank you all so much. And to the audience, thank you for tuning in. Until next time, shine your light bright.
God bless.
Thank you so much for joining us on this exploration of personal transformation. Your presence and engagement are at the heart of what we do, and I sincerely appreciate you, your time, and thirst for knowledge, inspiration, and empowerment. Please consider showing your support by hitting like, subscribe, leaving a comment, or writing a review. Your engagement not only fuels our mission, but also helps others discover these insights. For more daily guidance on personal transformation across the mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical realms, be sure to visit our website at unleashthyself.com. You can also find us on Instagram at Unleash Thyself Today, TikTok and YouTube at Unleash Thyself, and there we post daily content designed to inspire and empower you on your journey. If you have any specific thoughts, questions, or feedback, I truly value your input. I would love to hear from you. Together, we're building a community united in authenticity and purpose. Once again, thank you for being a part of this movement. Until next time, continue to embrace your true self and live a life on purpose, with purpose. See you in the next episode.